Hanging out at the pool is great. Relaxing and playing Vegas-style games on my phone at the same time. Drink in one hand and a blackjack in the other. It's all at SpinQuest. Over 1,000 games, including your favorite slots and table games. Be cool with this summer special. New players get $30 coin packs for 10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
To preface this, I would like to say that I have never had any issues with Uber before or after this incident. This was simply an isolated incident that was weird and a little scary. I live in a college town, and when I was going to the university, I used to take Ubers everywhere that I couldn't walk to. The parking security at my college were ruthless, and I didn't need a ton of parking tickets tacked onto my mounting debt. Not very cost-effective, but a surefire way that I'd get where I needed to be without losing my parking spot or getting accosted. The night of this particular incident, I had been at a friend's house about 5 miles from my dorm. I called an Uber as usual, and I was picked up by a guy in his mid-20s. Followed standard safety procedures, asking his name, checking the license plate, asking what my name was, all clear.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Guy is definitely an Uber driver. I get in and immediately this guy begins conversation. I don't mind talking to my Uber drivers, I figured it's just polite, but this guy starts our drive by asking question after question. There was the standard, where are you from, and are you in college? Super normal, right? Then, how much do you weigh? This threw me off more than a lot, seeing as that definitely isn't a normal thing to ask a stranger, but the guy had a thick accent and seemed unfamiliar with the area. He was ignoring maps, taking weird turns here and there, but was ultimately headed in the direction of my dorm. I answered his question, following up with a sort of nervous chuckle and telling him that wasn't really a question he should be asking a lot of people. Just a joke, but still.
But you're beautiful. Probably just the ideal weight for me.
Alright, red alarm bells. Grade A. Inappropriate. I should have said something snippy back, but all I could do was just sort of laugh. I respond with, ideal weights fluctuate. Stupid, right? But I froze up. Maybe it was just his culture or something. I turn the question on him to sidetrack him from that weird comment, and it turns out the guy's from the Ukraine. He doesn't need an invitation to start talking about himself, and I lapse into the standard uh-huhs and wows to keep him on track. Honestly, this trick works really well when you straight up can't avoid someone who might be flirting with you. They get so caught up in themselves that they forget you're listening. However, this guy seemed to take me asking vague questions as me taking interest in him. He starts staring at me through his rearview mirror, catching my eyes for uncomfortable amounts of time. He's still driving, but I notice that we're starting to take a super roundabout way to my dorm. Of course I'm nervous now. The roads are deserted. It's incredibly late and I'm alone. But I try and brush it off as a cultural thing again. Maybe I got too chatty. Maybe it's my outfit, etc. I pick up my phone and pretend to text, and this guy takes the cue to pry further.
Do you have a boyfriend?
Yep, we've been together a year.
Wow. Ever want to try the market out? You're so young.
Nah, we're really happy.
It's a shame. Really a shame.
He's still trying to maintain eye contact, leaning towards the back seat. I hum or something in response, and to my joy, I see we're finally approaching my dorm. The guy super slowly creeps to a stop at the curb, and I belt out the standard thanks for the ride, I'll rate you 5 stars, and go for the door handle. This guy hits the lock button.
and I'm locked in. I whip my head around at him, and he's turned all the way around in his seat, seatbelt off, and grinning like he just won the lottery. I'm freaked out. Your doors are still locked. He ignores me, still grinning, and asks bluntly for my phone number. I decline as politely as possible, even though I feel like knocking his lights out. No sale. He asks again, this time more forcefully, and adding, I would really love to get to know you better. I can meet you right here tomorrow if you want. Once again, I decline, reminding him that I have a boyfriend, and he most definitely would not like that. So you're not allowed to have friends? We can just be friends. Lots of girls around here have friends. At this point, I'm in full panic mode. What he said sounded innocent enough, but he was borderline cornering me into his back seat and was boring holes into me with his eyes. I was afraid he'd drive off with me if I said no again, and I had no means of fighting on me. I'm tall, 5'11", but my limbs are like noodles. This dude had biceps like basketballs. There was no way I'd be able to fight him off. He asked for my phone number again. I don't decline, but blurt out, "Unlock your door!" He starts to protest, but I repeat myself, pulling the door handle a couple of times. I raise my eyebrows at him, try to give him my best entitled face. I said unlock it. Finally, looking crestfallen, he turns back around and slowly puts his seatbelt on and unlocks the door. I bolt out of the car, slamming the door and breaking into a sprint until I'm finally locked into my dorm room. I'm freaked out for another hour or two, but I'm able to go to sleep. I woke up the next morning to a text from this guy, who told me I was the most beautiful woman he had ever met, and how he wished I hadn't left the car. Immediately, I block him and report him to Uber. I haven't heard anything from the guy since. I've been having some major car trouble, and it looked like my car was going to be in the shop for up to 2 whole weeks. That meant that for 10 whole days, I'd have to take the bus to and from work.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It was an inconvenience, sure, but I'm not so stuck up or sheltered that I was dreading taking public transport or anything. My main concern was getting caught in a rainstorm or something, but investing in a sturdy umbrella pretty much put those fears to bed. If I'd only known that the trouble with taking the bus wasn't the time spent or the exposure to the crazy weather we get here in the Pacific Northwest. It was the people I'd be riding with, or more specifically, one person in particular. So another thing that sucked about having to take the bus was how much earlier I had to wake up. Okay, 30 minutes earlier isn't all that bad, but it still sucks seeing 6:30 instead of 7 a.m. I'd have to be at the bus stop by 7:15 in order to be at work by 8 a.m., and given the area I was living in at the time, this usually meant I had the bus stop to myself. But then, either the third or fourth day I arrived at the stop, I discovered I wasn't alone. At first, the guy just looked like a construction worker, as he was wearing heavy boots, jeans, and one of those big, warm, highlighter pen jackets with reflective strips on it. I didn't pay him any mind. It was way too early to interact with anyone, so I just stood there under the shelter just listening to my podcast. Next thing I know, I feel someone tapping on my shoulder. There was literally no one else around, so of course it was the guy in the construction jacket. So then I take out one of my earbuds, turn to him, and ask him if I can help him. To which the guy repeats, "Good morning," in this passive-aggressive way. I assumed he thought I was just ignoring him, so I apologized and made it clear that I just couldn't hear him. Only right in that moment, I'd swear I smelled one of the single grossest smells ever. It was a mix of the guy's breath and his general odor, which I guess I hadn't picked up on at first because it was so cold outside. If I had to guess, I'd say the guy hadn't brushed his teeth in a freaking decade, and this was sharply evidenced by the state of his mouth. Honestly, it looked like his mouth had died, and was just waiting for the rest of him to catch up. It was truly awful, and I found myself severely pitying the people who had to work with him, not to mention myself who had to share a bus ride with this guy. I tried sitting as far away from him as possible, but I swear to God, he literally followed me right to the back of the bus to sit on the opposite seat. And yes, you guessed it, he tried talking to me the entire time. I know what some of you might be thinking at this point. Just take an Uber, or stagger your schedule to avoid the guy. Well, I already spent $45 on a month's Orca pass, and I wasn't exactly in the best financial situations at the time, so that was definitely guiding my poor decision making. That, and the guy wasn't at the bus stop every morning, so not at first anyway, so I figured I'd just suck it up and keep using my card. But then he was there another morning, then another morning, always trying to talk to me until it was on the verge of being harassment. Then one day I get a call saying my car would be ready the following afternoon. I mean, I'd only have to take the bus like one more time. And I was elated, but naturally my not-so-secret admirer was waiting for me that final morning. I had already asked the guy to leave me alone by that point, and he just wasn't taking the hint. So to try and get back at him, I decided to give his employer a call to see if they knew what he was getting up to while in uniform. And when I say in uniform, he had a company pass hanging around his neck, and his jacket had the company name on it too. So I looked them up, gave them a call, and told them one of their employees wouldn't leave me alone. I know that these days that probably seems like a super Karen thing to do, but to me, it was preferable to getting the cops involved, and all I wanted to do was just sort of scare the guy, not actually get him fired or anything. But none of that mattered anyway, because when I called the company to describe the guy to him, including dropping his name, the secretary hit me with a, "Oh, we fired that guy months ago. He didn't return his uniform, so we took it out of his paycheck." That's when it hit me that after that first chance meeting the first week I was riding the bus, he'd only been there to harass me. He sure wasn't catching the bus to work, at least not to work for the company whose pass he had, so the idea that I was totally oblivious to the fact that I was being stalked, legitimately one of the worst feelings of my life. Only thing is, as bad as things seemed right then, they were about to get so much worse. So I was back to using my car. About 2 weeks had gone by since the whole ordeal with Poop Mouth, and I was halfway to forgetting about the whole thing. Then this one evening, I finish late at work and get home at like 6:45. It's dark, it's cold, and I'm starving, and all I want to do is just curl up on the couch and go to sleep. My apartment at the time had two locks, each requiring a different type of key. You unlock the first one so you could use the second to actually open the door. But when I go to unlock the first lock, it seems like my key is jammed. It wasn't. It's just that lock hadn't been locked at all. It wasn't out of the question that I'd just forgotten to lock it that morning, but it was like a built-in part of my routine. It seemed really odd that I'd just neglected to do it. Anyway, I shrugged it off, too focused on my planned pre-dinner of coffee and molten hot Pop-Tarts, and then walk into my apartment. And that's when I smell it. It was that same rotten mouth smell that had clung to the bus guy like a dark cloud. It's weird how your brain just files those kinds of smells away, and the moment you smell them again, certain memories just come flooding back. Well, it was exactly like that as I stood in the dark hallway of my apartment.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just $10.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hand on heart, I think that's the most terrified I've ever been in my life. Just like knowing he was close without being able to see him. I just bolted back out of my apartment, back down into the parking lot of my building, jumped into my car and called the cops. The whole time I'm looking up at the second floor windows of my apartment, just waiting to see him moving around my apartment or something, but there was nothing. It got to the point where I thought I might be going crazy, that maybe it was backed up sewage or something and I just had the dumbest panic attack in the history of panic attacks. But still, the cops show up, I let them into the building, then direct them up to where my apartment was, telling them that the door should still be open. By that point, I figured they'd go in, find the dead rat in my toilet bowl or whatever it was. Legit happens in the Pacific Northwest. Please go ahead and look it up. And then just leave. What happens next will stay with me for the rest of my life. So, if you remember, I'm watching my own apartment windows from my car, while the cops are on their way up to search my place. I think the next thing I'm gonna see is the cops walking around my apartment, probably complaining about this crazy woman downstairs who's scared of bad smells. Only, the next person I see turns out to be Poop Mouth himself. He's not wearing his jacket or anything, but his greasy gray hair gave him away from a mile off. He literally ducks behind my apartment curtains, probably after the cops had announced themselves, and he tries to stand as thin and still as possible. I couldn't believe he'd done something so incredibly dumb. They were pretty thin curtains too, so it wasn't like he was going to fool anyone. But the moment one of the cops appeared in my window, I watched the guy pull something out of his jacket. I don't know if it was a knife or a gun, but the cop was basically wise to the whole thing and immediately tasered him before he could make a move. But the whole time, I'm just watching this whole thing unfold, feeling completely and utterly helpless, all the while screaming, "Look out, he's got something," with literally no one able to hear me. I stayed in my car for everything that followed, and I actually watched the cops leading the guy out of my apartment building in handcuffs. It was like an actual nightmare knowing he'd been waiting in my apartment for me, all after I thought I was completely rid of the guy. The only good news was that he'd violated probation and was headed back to prison to finish the latter half of an 8-year sentence for the exact same crime, only committed years before. It was a relief knowing that there was no chance of running into him for another 4 years, but it was still haunting to know how close I'd come to whatever it was he was planning for me. In a way, I should be weirdly thankful that he didn't take care of himself, because if I hadn't been able to smell him as soon as I walked in, I might not be around to be writing this right now. A few years ago, my daughter and her friends wanted to go to London for her birthday. It was to be Ella's first time traveling down there unaccompanied, but we reckoned that since she was 18, technically an adult, and was traveling with her friends, that it wouldn't be a problem. She had plenty of spending money. Since she had her phone with her too, she had access to map applications and other things that would prevent her from getting lost or what have you. As long as she kept her phone with her, she'd have everything she needed, and wouldn't lose her train tickets, as they were those e-ticket things. We also set her up with Apple Pay so that she couldn't accidentally spend all of her cash and be left with nothing for emergencies either. Don't get me wrong, me and her mom were still quite nervous about her heading off on her own for the first time, but all the things I just mentioned definitely eased our minds when it came to her safety. As the morning ticked over to lunchtime, I got a text from her saying that she'd arrived safely, and that she was heading to Oxford Street to get some shopping done. After that, I tried to distract myself with football as best I could so that I wasn't constantly worrying about her. Her mom was the same, telling me to just relax, that she'd call us if she really needed anything. In the end, I actually managed it too. I put my phone on charge, went to do some gardening, and had a cup of tea in the sun while my wife went off to her Pilates classes in the early afternoon. Then it was about 2 o'clock when I decided that I'd waited long enough to give Ella a call to see how she was getting on. So I get up and head over to my phone, only to find that I have about 4 or 5 missed calls from Ella. I was kicking myself for not having my phone closer to me, and had somehow managed to leave it on that do not disturb mode that I put on when I go to bed, but it wasn't exactly like I was panicking or anything as I called her back. But then, as soon as the call was answered, and heard the voice on the other end, I felt my stomach drop. All I heard was, "Hello?" And I instantly knew the person answering the phone was not my daughter. It was a deep voice, a man's voice, and for a second I actually thought that I might have called someone else by accident. I had to pull the phone away from my face to check if the call was connected to Ella and not one of my work colleagues or something. When I asked, "Where's Ella?" there was a slight pause before the man on the other end just said, "Ella's gone." Then a second later, he hung up. Bit of a weird reference here, but remember in Jaws when there's the bit with Martin Brody seeing a shark attack happen for the first time, and the camera sort of zooms in around him as this sense of pure horror hits him? That's exactly what it felt like. Standing there with the phone in my hand, realizing that something completely terrible might have just happened to my little girl. I need to throw in a little side note at this point, and that's how, if I'd actually kept calm and thought sensibly about the whole thing, I'd probably have avoided most of the horror that came after. But I didn't. I went into complete and utter panic mode, and for some stupid reason I decided to call Ella's phone back. Whenever whoever it was picked up on the other end, all I heard was laughing, which filled me with this combination of absolute terror and absolute rage. I demanded to know where my daughter was, and the person on the other end sounded nothing short of pure evil when they said something along the lines, "Somewhere she'll never escape from. But don't worry, we're gonna treat her really good." I just started shouting, "Where is she? Where is she?" over and over again, stopping only when I heard the same sick laughter coming down the line. I only managed to pull myself out of it when the guy started saying, "Do you want to talk to her? Do you? Well, beg. Beg us and maybe we'll let you." I knew I had to do something. I mean, actually do something before it was too late. I just hung up the phone and dialed 999. I was still telling the operator that my daughter was missing, describing what she looked like and who she was with when my wife came back from her class. When I told her what was happening, she went into panic mode too, and I struggled to hold back the tears when she cried, telling herself that she knew it was a huge mistake to let Ella go to London on her own. But then, when she calmed down slightly, she got out her phone and started calling someone, and it was only when I asked her who it was she was calling that I realized that I might have severely overreacted. I realized that I hadn't called any of Ella's friends, and we made sure to get their numbers as well as the numbers of their parents right around the time that Ella announced that she wanted the day trip to celebrate her 18th. I waited on hold, waited for some kind of detective or something. Well, my wife suddenly perked up with one of Ella's friends answering her phone. I heard her saying, "Sophie, where are you? Is Ella there?" Then there was a brief pause before she almost wailed and, "Oh my God. Thank God for that." Then she burst into tears again. She then got up from a kitchen chair, walked over to me for what I thought was a hug of relief. But she didn't hug me. She just started smacking me about the face and shoulders. Ella was fine. She just lost her phone, and it just so happened that a gang of absolute oxygen thieves had picked it up, then decided to play an extremely cruel prank on the person who called her phone. The person they knew was her dad because the number was labeled as such. It was all for nothing. I completely overreacted, let the cruel laughter of those little idiots and the panic of thinking that I'd lost her completely impair my judgment. And I felt like an idiot too, like a complete and utter moron. But there's one thing I need you to understand, and that's how what I thought was happening, what I wrongfully assumed was happening, is every parent's worst nightmare. The kind of fear that thought fills you with, you just can't compare it with anything else. Then I was so prepared for the worst that it was almost like I wanted those prejudices to be confirmed. I wasn't an overly protective, paranoid father. I was right. The world was horrific. It was cruel, a predatory place, and I never should have let Ella out of my sight. Only, that wasn't true. All that had happened is that her phone had fallen out of her handbag, or she'd left it on a table and some little idiot had decided to play a cruel prank on me. I suppose this is a bit of a washout story in some ways. Ella was never really in any danger. It was all just in my head. But for a few moments, I thought my entire world had ended. I thought me and my wife would be two of those parents that your heart bleeds for, making some tearful appeal on TV while begging their little girl's captors to let her go.
Our official merch store is finally here. If you want to support more of our channel, check out our merch shop. The link is in the description down below. See you on the next video.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.